This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome, all you Bulls fans, to another exciting episode of the Chicago Bulls coverage show from Sports Ethos. And listeners, please take a moment before we get started here to follow at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. That's the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides more analysis, too. Again, that's at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. Go follow it now. And everyone at Sports Ethos, I'm your host, Keith Cork, here with my good buddy, fellow Bulls fan, Mr. Trey Hill. And we are excited today because we are going to be recapping the top moments of 2021. Maybe a few days late here, Trey, but we're going to get around to it. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well, It's like our own version of 12 Days of Christmas. It's our 12 days, our 12 favorite things of 2021.
Yeah, we've got 12 moments for you guys that we've put together, and actually 13 if you count. My brother Brandon actually weighed in on some of these to help us break a few ties. So he put out his ranks for us also. So thank you to my brother Brandon. Hopefully we'll have him on the show again. He's obviously a big Bulls fan as well. So I'm sure he'll be happy to come on sometime and chat some Bulls with us. But he actually threw an honorable mention out there. And we'll just chat about that real quick before we get started here. He said Zach LaVine opting into Team USA, which I thought was a really good one. We left that off of our official list, but he had a good one there, I thought, because, you know, for me, Zach LaVine, I don't know how many of the Team USA games you watched, Trey, but I watched those, pretty much all of them, I think. And, you know, his defense on the Team USA level was really what stood out to me. Obviously, he was like a ball hawk for them, which was just really, really awesome to see, because he was really just, you know, chasing the basketball, chasing the ball handler and getting after it, man. So but obviously, you know, that was big for him and for his development. And I'm sure you agree as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was jealous when you sent it after we had done our 12 rankings and you were like, oh, hey, we're going to have this honorable mention because it's such a good one. It deserves to be in the list. So it's perfect for the Baker's Dozen. Zach, yeah. I feel like he really learned how to attack on the defensive end over there and how to buy it. Not necessarily how to buy in, but I think he learned what it was like playing with other talented players, because even on the Bulls last year, he was the guy. He had to expend all of his energy on the offensive end because he just didn't have players around him to carry the load. And on Team USA, he had the guys to carry the load offensively. So that was really like his first example of playing with a lot of talent around him, which led perfectly into this year after signing all, you know, DeMar DeRozan, Lonzo Ball, we got Caruso. There's so much talent on this team now that it's not just Zach all the time, which we'll see in some moments coming up. Yeah. But that was huge for him, I think, to go out and show that he could do it on such a big stage.
Yeah, it was a big developmental moment for him. And it's good that it's an honorable mention, too, because it's not exactly a Bulls moment, because obviously Team USA, not exactly the Chicago Bulls, but, you know, Zach does play for the Chicago Bulls. So there's a bit of a connection there, but that's a perfect honorable mention. But we're going to get down. Like I said, guys, we've got 12 moments for you. We're going to count them down from 12 to number one in the standard way, a listicle way to get you to listen to the whole episode, I guess. And I'm going to start us off, Trey. I'm going to start us with here number 12 on our list here. And this is when Alex Caruso on December 19th put up 19 points, 9 rebounds, 3 three-pointers against his former team, the Lakers. And the Bulls ended up sweeping the season series. They won a game earlier, which, you know, we'll talk about in a little bit here. But this one confirmed, you know, they went 2-0 over those LA Lakers, who are still, for many people, I think, even for better or for worse, title, I wouldn't say title favorites, but in the running to win a title, right? So I thought it was really big for the Bulls to just sweep that series, win both games, and just big for Mr. Caruso, obviously, himself, that, you know, in particular, because it is his former team. They kind of stiffed him this offseason by not really giving him his bag that he really earned and deserved. Obviously, there are some tricky things going on there with the luxury tax with the Lakers. They would have had to spend a little bit more to keep him because of their luxury tax situation. But just a big game from him. And, you know, I love what I saw. Any thoughts on that game there?
It was an excellent watch seeing him get to do that against the team that, I mean, like you said, they basically just said, we don't feel like we need you. We don't feel like you give us enough value for how much it would cost us to bring you in, because it's the Lakers. They make money. It's not as if signing that contract was going to, you know, make or break this franchise. So to see him get to do that in the second game against the Lakers, get the sweep against his former team, it was one of the better moments of 2021 for sure.
Yeah, and Zach LaVine was out for that one, so, you know, obviously Caruso had to step into a bigger role here. He tied Vucevic to be the second leading scorer on the team in that game. They both had 19 points. But it was just it felt like, you know, you felt Caruso's impact a little bit more in that game, maybe because of the narrative, but more so because of just his activity on both ends of the floor, which is something we've seen in every game he's appeared in for us, is just the guy just is involved with winning basketball players plays on both sides of the floor. So that's number 12 for us. Trey, why don't you take us into number 11?
We talked about beating the Lakers just a second ago. We're going to continue talking about beating the Lakers.
I love it. Let's talk about beating the Lakers. Yeah.
This one was especially high for me when the Bulls went on their road trip, you know, their annual, you know, every year they have that same road trip. They get started on it. Vooch gets out for the COVID protocols, and they have a away game with the Clippers and Lakers. And at the time, both teams are considered, you know, title contenders. The Lakers hadn't lost their luster just yet. And I had a lot of non-Bulls fans in my life. Just even once the Bulls got off to the hot start, they said, just wait, they haven't played anybody good. They haven't had to play on the road. You're not real contenders. You're not a real talented team in the NBA. And then they go in and they beat both of them going back to back. It sent a statement, I thought, to the league that the Bulls were for real, that they were coming for the rest of the league, and that they weren't just a feel good story for a couple games like that Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler, Rondo team was.
Yeah, I was trying to so the Bulls were 8-3 to open the first 11 games of the season. Then they went on that road trip, which they had 5 games on the road. They did have to kind of get off to a hot start, and then COVID hit. I know we were chatting about how those were going to be big games for them, and we wanted to see how they were going to play. Obviously, they dropped the game at Golden State, which, you know, again, one of my New Year's resolutions is for them is to pop back and hit the Golden State Warriors in the mouth on January 14th when we play them again. But no matter, those Clippers, that Clippers and Lakers game, you had a feeling that, you know, maybe they're going to drop one of them. Like you said, this road trip, the circus trip, as they used to call it, no longer the circus trip because the circus doesn't go anymore. But the trip that they always take around this time of year, it was big. They always drop, you know, 3-4 games in that series. And they end up winning. Let's see, what, three of them. No, sorry. Am I wrong here? Three of them.
No, you're right.
They went 3-2. So they beat the Nuggets also. But beating those two LA teams back to back. And there was a lot of chatter also about how many connections the Bulls have with the LA area, obviously with DeMar DeRozan, Zach went to UCLA. You've got Caruso, who played with the Lakers for a while. So kind of a return home for those guys. So, it was kind of a special moment where they didn't necessarily flounder as much as we thought they were. But it was an important moment, I remember. So I did rank that 12th on my personally for me. But that doesn't necessarily mean it wasn't a great moment. That just means that, you know, I thought some other moments were a little bit better. Speaking of which, one that I had a little bit higher, just one notch higher than that, is our number 10 moment, which is on the 30th of October, when the Bulls beat the Jazz 107-99 on Tony Kukoc Hall of Fame celebration night. And this was kind of one where, you know, I thought the Bulls, again, this is another situation where you're thinking like, I'm looking here. There wasn't on 10/29. That was on the 30th of October. I'm not sure what I was thinking there when I wrote that down. But anyways, I was off by a day, but no matter, because they did still beat the, it is the 30th. I just said it wrong. I don't know. But the Bulls did beat the Utah Jazz, and they beat them by 8 points. It was a convincing win. And this was a you know, probably, you know, you were saying, you know, the Bulls hadn't played any good teams yet. This was the first good team, in my opinion, that the Bulls played. Obviously, they dropped that game right before against the Knicks by 1 point on the 28th. That wasn't a good that's a decent team, the Knicks are, but it's not like a really, really good team. So the Bulls beating the Utah Jazz really kind of put them on the map for me. And, of course, having Tony Kukoc there and having his Hall of Fame night and having him kind of talk about, you know, how good the team looked, that made it even more special for me.
Yeah, the same for me. I'm big on nostalgia. I will buy it all day, every day. I love all of the stuff. And the video that they had for Tony Kukoc was fantastic. I can still remember, you know, watching it, which speaks volumes, because I didn't get to watch him in his, you know, I wasn't old enough to really appreciate Tony Kukoc. And so, like, I feel like that being able to get that victory over the Jazz and have that video, you know, have that moment for him, that just kind of, that's what's etched in my brain. And it's the same for the next moment we had, ranked number 9, Joakim Noah. You mentioned it when we were talking about the Tony Kukoc, because they were back-to-back games. Mm-hmm. The Bulls honored Joakim Noah. It was Joakim Noah night when they played the Knicks, because, you know, those are the two franchises he, you know, spent the most time with. Obviously, you know, he's a Bull for life. But he also played a little bit for the Knicks. And it was, I ranked that one a spot higher just because Joakim Noah is so much closer to my heart. Like, I'll never forget watching that game that night and seeing all the stuff about Joakim Noah, watching Derrick Rose talk about him. It was a great night, and it was just one of the real highlights for me.
It was Joakim Noah night was awesome. I mean, it definitely brought a tear to my eye. Obviously, the Bulls did fall to the Knicks by 1 point. It was a hard fought game. The Bulls didn't have their best game. The Knicks came out and played a really great, excellent defensive game. And in some ways, it felt like that was like, you know, Tom Thibodeau doesn't seem like he has a carrying bone in his body. It's more he's just all basketball all the time. And it felt like that was his tribute to Joakim, was he's just gonna come out there and coach the perfect game and beat the Bulls. And that's what he did, man. It was surgical how they beat us. It was really impressive. Obviously, the Knicks have floundered since that point, but Joakim Noah played for both those teams, obviously, the Bulls and the Knicks. And, you know, obviously it was very, very special to have Derrick Rose in the building in the same night, Taj Gibson, Thibodeau, just a lot of players. And obviously all the other old players that were in the stands at the same time, just seeing those guys. You had Ben Gordon over there and Lou Aldane, of course. And, you know, just seeing them all in the same building again, definitely, you know, I had this a few ticks higher also. That definitely, even though the Bulls lost, that's still one of the best memories I'm going to have from this year, you know, going forward. So it was really special to have that night. And thanks for Joakim. I actually just pulled out, there's another Joakim Noah night when he was playing with the Bulls, obviously, where I went and got some bobbleheads. So I've got the Joakim Noah bobbleheads in the green jerseys, and I've got two of them. So I set those out on my mantle just earlier today. So, but moment number 8. And this is going back to our current Bulls here. Moment number 8 we have on our list of 12 is Lonzo Ball dropping his first triple-double with the Bulls in just the second game of the season. And he got that triple-double on a very impressive alley-oop to the Caruso against those Pelicans. You know, this just felt like Lonzo Ball had arrived, right? You know, you were excited when we signed him, and, you know, we'll talk about that, but there were a lot of questions about how this Bulls team was going to gel. And they came out and they just ran the floor those first couple of games, up and down, especially against those Pelicans. They had several, you know, just fast break points and transition defense and just scoring off of their defense. It was just really impressive to see. And you just felt like Lonzo Ball was just such a huge part of that, the way that he passed the ball up the floor and got the ball up the floor so quickly. So definitely high on my list there of Bulls moments this season.
Yeah, the style that Lonzo plays, it he fits in so well with basically anyone. He could play on any team for, you know, and be a quality player. And I think him coming in and being able to fit in as seamlessly as he did really showed off that game. And to me, like you said, it was like the Lonzo's arrived game. And I was really disappointed when the Bulls didn't get Lonzo at the trade deadline, when I thought for sure they were going to get Lonzo. And I've been a huge Lonzo guy for a long time now. And so to see him come out in the second game of the season, like it's nothing, and put up a triple double, it was just really, really validating for a lot of Bulls fans who'd been hoping for Lonzo for a long time.
Yeah, it felt so effortless for him. He shot 6 for 11 from the field, 3 from 8 from beyond the arc. Just felt like, you know, he could do this anytime. 10 rebounds, 11 assists, 17 points. He also threw in 3 steals, which has been another hallmark of him, is just the defense here. But why don't you take us to the next one there, Trey?
At number 7, we've got the Bulls beating the Nets to win the season series. You might remember the game specifically for that clutch Lonzo Ball 3-pointer with 17 seconds left to seal it. Mm-hmm. To me, it kind of put a stamp on this season that the Bulls are for real contenders, and they aren't just beating up on bad teams. They are beating quality teams, and they should be a threat come playoff time. And having that tiebreaker against, you know, the number 2 seed now behind the number 1 Bulls, that's huge to have. And sealing that with a huge shot from Lonzo, it was a really good moment for the Bulls.
Yeah, I had it higher on my list because of that, what you just brought up there, Trey, about them just owning the tiebreaker. I know my brother Brandon had it even higher. He had it 6th on his list, ended up being number 7 overall. We both had it number 9. So we were all pretty much, you know, pretty high on this moment here. But yeah, the biggest thing for me was just having that season series victory over the Nets. So even if we lose the next one, we've still got the tiebreaker here. Now, again, the Bulls have beat the Nets both times on the second half of a back-to-back, so that's probably why I didn't have it higher for myself. But, you know, it was a close game. It was a hard-fought game. They could have gone either way. Obviously, the Nets don't have Kyrie. He's going to be supposedly getting back in here and playing whenever he can, because he's still supposedly not vaccinated. But, you know, whatever happens, I mean, you know, it was a hard-fought game. And like I said, either team could have won. Lonzo Ball hit that clutch 3 with about 17 seconds left, and that sealed the deal. The Bulls closed it out, and like you said, it just felt like a quality earned victory. So I can't say enough good things about that. So next on our list here, we've got number 6 on our list, the Bulls erasing a 14-point deficit against the Boston Celtics to win by 14, a 28-point swing in the fourth quarter, which turns out to be the largest fourth quarter swing in the shot clock era, Trey.
You mentioned a hard fought victory.
Yeah. Good.
Oh, I mean, I remember watching that game with my buddy who's a Celtics fan, and it was just demoralizing for him when that happened. It was.
Yeah, I had.
I think it really showed that the heart and the grit the Bulls have, and the Bulls have shown that, you know, throughout the rest of the year. They've had quite a few come from behind victories in the fourth quarter, but this one was just the biggest example of them, you know, imposing their will come winning time.
Yeah, I mean, just I had this 4th on my list. I was the highest out of all 3 of us that voted here, and the reason I was so high on it here. It was just so impressive to me, just because I've watched the Bulls for so long. I know we talked about this right after it happened, but, you know, watch the Bulls for so long, and you never really think that when the Bulls are losing the fourth quarter, they even have a chance, even if it was like a 5 or 6 point deficit. You know, the last basically since Derrick Rose era, it's just been like, okay, well, we're losing this game. There's no way we're going to win this. You know, the fourth quarter isn't really our quarter. We struggled. We've always been near the bottom of the league in scoring in the fourth quarter. And now we've got 2 of the top 5 guys in the league at scoring in the fourth quarter, which is just incredible. It's impressive. It's just entirely new to me. This is when I really, you know, in the preseason, I was like, this feels different. I think you and I were both high on the Bulls, but this is where I really said, okay, well, this is how it's different. Like, this is a different era, because the Bulls have this firepower and can just come out here and just lay it on people. You know, they outscored the Celtics, 36-11, I think it was, in the fourth quarter of that game, 39-11 in that Ooh. Game. And again, they were down 14, ended up winning by 14. And like you said, it had to be demoralizing for his Boston Celtics fans. I know I've been on the other side of that, not necessarily that bad. Obviously, that's the worst it's been. But I've been on the other side of that many times as a Bulls fan where we're maybe up 5 or 6 or 7 points and we end up losing by 5, 6, 7 points. That's like, are you guys kidding me? Come on. That's just such a bad feeling. So just to be able to do that to other teams, it just felt like, oh, this is so much different. So anything else you want to say about that there, Trey?
Oh, no, that pretty much wraps it up. Who's up for number five, me or you?
You, I think.
All right. The Bulls drafting Ayo Dosunmu, 38th overall. I had it ranked fourth. It came in at fifth. It's pretty high. This is my first time saying this take in public. I think the Bulls drafted a version of Mikal Bridges in Ayo. I think he's going because he's got that extra long wingspan. You know, it's 6 foot, a 6 foot 10 wingspan. He loves he loves the defensive challenge. We saw him go against Beal last night, and he got burned on a backdoor cut the very first possession, and then didn't get burned on any cuts after that. Like, he learned from his mistakes, and I think he's going to be a huge contributor for the next decade for the Bulls. So that was huge for me to see him, to draft him, and then to also get to see what he's becoming.
I think that if we were doing it just based on what we felt the day that it happened, I think I might have had it higher. I've got an eighth here. And I'm not saying like I love Ayo. Like I've tweeted, if anyone follows my Twitter account, I've questioned before if it should be I'd assume, Stan account, because I am high on the kid and I think he's great. And his defense, in the last couple of games also has just really stood out, and it's helped us win games, and he's always around the play that ends up winning the basketball game. He makes winning plays. I mean, there's nothing more you can ask for this guy. I just think that I like the Mikal Bridges comparison, but I don't think he's quite as impactful as Mikal Bridges. So maybe Mikal Bridges light, right? So maybe he reaches Mikal Bridges level at some point in his career. I mean, who knows? He's gonna have a long career, I'm sure. But right now I just see him as a role player. So I've got an eighth on my list, which still pretty high up there. I still think it's a really big get for the Bulls, especially because at 38th in the draft, second round, you're not expecting to draft a guy that's going to help you this season or even next season. You're looking to maybe get a project of some sort. But the Bulls struck gold here. I mean, a lot of people passed on this kid, and they're all, I'm sure, kicking themselves in the butt because this kid is good. He can ball, man. I mean, you're out there watching him play, and he gets after it, man. I love what he does. I love the Mikal Bridges comp. So I'm all about it. Just not quite as high on it as you guys were, but that's okay. And while we're about halfway through here, I do want to pause for a moment here and let you guys know we have a brand new daily fantasy partner at Sports Ethos, Thrive Fantasy. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit up to $100, plus either 2 or 4 free game tickets to play. Pick player props out of the biggest names playing every night. Score points when your props hit, and the player with the most points wins. Hey, there's a typo here. I think I've been reading over this whole time. Win a share of the nightly prize money. And check out our Sports Ethos DFS team or podcast for advice on winners. Again, that code is ETHOS over at ThriveFantasy.com. And while I'm at it, happy holidays, everybody. They're wrapping up here, but stop giving your personal information to your ISP. On top of overcharging, your ISP is allowed to legally sell your browsing history to third-party advertisers for a ton of cash. Take your privacy back with ExpressVPN. Head to our special promotional link at ExpressVPN.com/HoopBall. Yes, I know we are Sports Ethos, but our old name was HoopBall, and that's what you're going to use here. Get three bonus months on a 12-month subscription. It's super easy. Turning it on just takes one click, and it works great with streaming services like Netflix or sports packages like League Pass 2. Once more, that's expressvpn.com/HoopBall. Grab those three bonus months now. And I talked too much here, Trey, but let me go ahead and get on with our list here. And I'm going to rock it with number four. Number four on our list of top 12 Bulls moments from 2021 is DeMar DeRozan's three-point game winner on December 31st against the Indiana Pacers. And with that three-pointer, with that incredible three-pointer, we all know what happened the next night. We're going to count that because that's 2022. But he obviously did it back-to-back nights. But with that three-pointer on the 31st, the Bulls officially moved into the first place where they are sitting right now. in 2022, and Bulls fans couldn't be riding higher, right? You know, never thought that DeMar would have hit that shot. It was incredible. He didn't know if he didn't know how much time was on the clock. Supposedly we were yelling at him to go. And then he hits a one-footed 3-point fadeaway jumper. It just deflates, takes the air out of the Indiana Pacers crowd. Just incredible, man. How did you feel about that?
It was definitely the no, yes. Mm-hmm. Like you said, he lost track of the time, and that's not his game, you know, out there beyond the 3-point land. And you could tell from where he was and how much time was on the clock that it was going to have to be a 3-point shot that he was taking. So that's one of the reasons I didn't rank it quite as high as I would have if it was, say, the one from 2022, because he knew exactly how much time he had. He got that pump fake. But this one was still just such an amazing shot. Getting into first place to go into the new year was great. And DeMar is just the gift that keeps on giving.
He really is. And obviously he did it again the very next night. But again, that's 2022, so it's not on our list. But you know, that very well might be up there for me as well. I had this as number one on my list here just because of the fact that it's just such a mental blockade for me to say the Bulls are now in first place, because, you know, I've been so reticent to say that they are really, really, you know, in the mix here for a championship or even for a finals run. And I think I can't deny that anymore, even as someone that really tries to be skeptical, because I know how much of a homer I can be. I just don't think there's a part of me that logically can say, you know, this isn't a team that has a chance to go at least to the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, whether or not, it depends on how the matchups happen, right? If we get the right matchups, you know, if we get matched up with like the Miami Heat and they've got Bam Adebayo back and stuff, I mean, that's going to be really tough. We get matched up against, you know, the Pacers, that's going to be tough. I mean, there's some really tough, matchups for us, right? But if we end up getting the right matchups, getting to that Eastern Conference Finals, I mean, you never know. So I think that's what really sold it for me, is just us officially moving into first place. Take us to the next one there, though, Trey.
The next one is the start, at least for me, the start of the Bulls getting serious. And at number three, the Bulls trading for Vucevic. It was last season, but it was back on March 26th. And we knew how good Zach was. You know, those of us Bulls fans who had been watching, like, we saw just how talented this guy was as a player, and we knew he just needed the help around him. And trading for Vucevic, one, it established that the Bulls were going to start to win now. He's, I believe, what, 32 years old? Obviously not a win now move. Or, I mean, obviously it was a win now move. And Vucevic as a player is just everything that they needed then and with this team. His playmaking ability, his ability to stretch the floor with that 3-point shot, it's just been such a great fit. But for me, I ranked it so high because it really did kind of signify the moment that we all knew the Bulls were going all in on this team.
Yeah, it was the beginning of building this team, right? So it had to be high on my list. I had it at number five, which is a little, just slightly behind where you and my brother had it. You guys both had it at number three here, but I had it at number five. This is, you know, obviously it happened last season. It like you said, it signified just the winds were changing. We didn't know what to think of Arturas, but after that happened, now all of a sudden we land a big name for a guy in a trade, which really had not happened, I don't think, ever in Bulls history. I mean, I can't remember you know, the Bulls traded and got a guy that was an all-star off the top of my head. Can you?
No.
Yeah, I just don't think that happened. So that it was another, you know, indication that the winds were shifting. Things were going to be different with this front office. It was a signal to the fans, just as much as it was a good basketball player and play. And as much as I give Vucevic crap, I mean, I think he's a great player. I think, like you said, he's got the skill set that the Bulls need. I just expect a lot from him, and he's had kind of a rough start to the season. But even so, I mean, he's doing what he needs to do pretty much on a nightly basis, and the Bulls are still winning and taking care of business. So it's been a very successful season. But yeah, just to recap here, the Bulls did trade away Wendell Carter Jr. out of Porter and two first-round picks, the 2021 first-round pick to the Magic, as well as their 2023 first-round pick. And in exchange, the Bulls received Vucevic and Alfred Camino, who obviously Alfred Camino we basically let walk in this offseason, unless we traded him. I can't remember.
Exactly. I believe he was a part of the trade to the Spurs for DeRozan. Okay.
So either way, we got rid of him. So basically it's just a vooch for Wendell Carter, Otto Porter, and two first-round picks. And I think in the end, yeah, Franz Wagner is a big part of this too. And we're going to see how he turns out. He's looking very good so far. But, of course, he's playing for a not-so-good team. So sometimes it's easy to look kind of better than you are when you have a lot of opportunity. But I think he's going to be pretty stellar. What do you think?
I think he's the guy I was the most wrong about come draft time, because I didn't think he was going to be anything. And he's really shown just an ability to come in and play and to know how to make the right plays. I'm not trying to compare him to Luka, but you can tell that he's been playing professionally for a couple of years. Just, you know, with how physically ready he is, how just the style of play, he's ready for it. And I think that really shows through when he's out there.
Yeah, and I think I think this is a case where both teams really won this trade. I think the Magic did well to get two of those first-round picks. So we'll see who they get in 2023, but it could work out very well for them. They might end up slightly winning the trade. But I think for the Bulls, it made a lot of sense because, again, you want to make sure Zach signs his extension this season, or this upcoming offseason, I should say, and you want to make sure he's happy, and you want to have a playoff run. You want to get the Bulls to the playoffs, which I think was a goal last season we missed, but this season it's looking like I can't imagine a world where it doesn't happen. So, but moving on, we're getting there down to number one, guys. Here's number two, though. Number two on our list of top 12 moments is the Bulls sign and trade for Lonzo Ball. Literally minutes after free agency opens, which did cost us a future second round pick is what we end up getting slapped with, if I'm correct, or maybe it was a future second round pick. So I think
I don't even know if it was minutes after. It might have been literally the minute free agency started.
So I think and this is number two on my list of things, number two on all of our list of things, actually. So we were all very high in this. This is really the guy we wanted. Like you said, at the trade deadline, this is the guy I wanted, too. I thought the Bulls had a really good chance of landing him. Didn't happen then, but the framework was basically there. So when free agency opened in the offseason, it was like boom, boom, boom. We got it done, got him to us, and it just made a ton of sense, both from Lonzo's standpoint as well as from the Bulls' standpoint. And we were really high on what this guy could bring to the table as far as, again, just the pace he plays with, the way he just sees the floor, the way he pushes the tempo. This is something that the Bulls have been missing in a point guard for quite some time. You know, obviously Kobe White and Satoransky wasn't necessarily cutting the mustard there for us last season. And this is a huge upgrade for us, especially from a defensive standpoint. And, just a fantastic, fantastic sign and trade for the Bulls.
Yeah, and I'd like to remind everyone, Lonzo's only 24 years old, so we have like another 6 years before he even hits his age 30 season. Just a great signing by the Bulls, a great investment. He might not be a superstar on offense, but he's such a great offensive player and keeping the flow going and making sure making sure the open guy's getting the ball. And the size he has on defense, along with just, his defensive ability, it makes everything so much more switchable on the other end, and it really helps it helps us hide Vooch a little bit, having all that extra size around, and Lonzo's a big part of that. I think he's going to be a great Bull for the next five or six years. I think it's going to be a great long-term investment, and I'm just excited that he finally found his way here.
Yeah, one of the best things about this sign and trade was that the Lonzo Ball agreed to a 4-year extension for $85 million, which is really, guys, really a steal for what this guy is going to bring to the table and just his upside. I mean, even if he remains the player that he is now, it doesn't even get better, which is kind of hard to imagine. You know, he's only 24, like you said, and usually guys get better until they're 26, 27, 28. So he's got a few years even before he really starts hitting his peak. Even if he doesn't get better, though, that $85 million deal for 4 years, still a great deal. I'll take it all day. Hopefully, like you said, he sticks around for a few years longer than that. But that's all going to depend on the success that the Bulls see in the playoffs with Lonzo Ball. But just to kind of recap the framework of that deal here, the Bulls acquired Ball from the Pelicans in exchange for Tomas Satoransky, Garrett Temple, and a second round pick. I mean, yay, the Pelicans got something out of this deal. I guess that, you know, that's at the end of the day, that's all they're really looking to do, because Lonzo pretty much wanted out. But yeah, that's giving up nothing for Lonzo Ball, right?
Yeah, we didn't give up hardly anything. And the AK did a masterful job of manipulating the salary cap, getting these guys in sign and trades instead of trying to do it with cap room. And because they were done with sign and trades, we were able to have the exception to sign, you know, Caruso. We were able to do all these other things. And it was huge getting Ball and having that domino drop first. And I think he's going to be a great fit next to Zach for just moving forward. I think he's just a great secondary relief valve. My head, I see, like, say, you know, in 3 years from now, when DeMar's kind of on the back burner, I want Zach to kind of step up into that fourth quarter closer role. And then I'm hoping that Lonzo can develop into that when they run the hard double at Zach, he can throw it to Lonzo, and Lonzo is creating or scoring from all three levels is where I'm hoping he gets to. Yeah. So huge, huge deal for the Bulls. And it really, I mean, the Vucevic trade let everyone know that the Bulls were serious about winning. But I feel like the Lonzo deal happening kind of cemented how serious AK needs to be considered when people think about the elite GMs in the league.
And I'm going to let you finish this out with number one. But before we do that, I'm going to ask you a quick question here. We don't have Alex Caruso signing with the Bulls on this list. If we were to stick that in there, where would you put it? What place do you think?
Because
I'm looking at this. Yeah, go ahead.
I'd probably put it around 5 or 6.
Yeah.
It'd be up there.
I was going to say, I might put it above Io a little bit. Io's number 5 on our list here. I just think Caruso's just I think his leadership on the team has just been so incredible. And it's helped everyone just elevate their game. So sorry, Caruso, Mr. Caruso, we left you off the list. But if we did put you on here, it'd be pretty high. But anyways, go ahead. Bring us to number one. Bring us home.
What else could it be other than DeMar DeRozan? I know I mentioned the Lonzo Ball signing made AK look like a genius. A lot of people did not think this was a genius move when it happened. And DeMar has come in and shown exactly why that was wrong. I think he's been a legit MVP contender, not just because he's made last second shots, but because of the overall work he's done. And I know he's older, but not much of his game is based on, you know, elite athleticism. So I'm hoping that he ages fairly well. And I love the trade for the win now mentality of it all. I love showing Zach that we're serious. And if things break right, I really do believe that this is a title team, a title contending team. And that's because of what DeMar DeRozan has been able to come in and do. So I ranked it number one for me personally, because if a move happens where I think that move is the reason that my team might be considered a title contender, that immediately just shoots to the top, because who doesn't want to contend for a ring?
Yeah, I had it number three. I had DeRozan's 3-point winner as number one on my list, just in terms of moments. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I had Lonzo Ball number two here. I think part of me just still kind of has that layover effect of when it actually happened. You know, I wasn't sure if it was a good deal. Just to kind of recap how the Bulls got DeRozan, they traded with the San Antonio Spurs, obviously. They traded Thaddeus Young, Alfred Camino, and a protected first-round pick and 2 second-round draft picks to San Antonio. At the time, it felt to me like they were just giving up a little much, especially Thaddeus Young. You know, we were all sad to see him go. I think we would still love to have him on this team. I think he, you know, profiles and fits into that guy that we're all kind of looking for, who can play defense 1 through 5, basically, on the defensive end and create on the offensive end. So, you know, at the time, it was something that I wasn't super – it's not that I wasn't high on it. I was ecstatic to get DeMar DeRozan, because I've loved watching this guy play for a while now. I think he's just a winner. And so, you know, I was probably higher than most people on them getting him and his fit with the rest of the Bulls. I thought this is going to be great. I really did think this was going to, I mean, I truly did. But at the end of the day, you know, I was also thinking in terms of, you know, a GM, would I really give up this much for this guy? Obviously now in hindsight, yes, it's clear that this was worth it. This was probably the best signing in the NBA, the best trade that was done in the NBA this past offseason. It took the Bulls from being not even a play-in team. They were on the cusp and didn't make the play-in to now they are the number one seed in the East. So tell me why I'm dumb for not having a number one on my list, Trey.
No, not at all. The real reason we're both dumb is that we didn't have the Caruso signing on.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry to Alex Caruso.
But this was a hastily put together project. So that's my excuse on that. But DeMar is just, he's been fantastic. Him and Vooch played in college together. I think Vooch reached out to him to tell him to come play here also. And it shows why the good GMs get paid the way they do. Because, like you said, not everyone is going to be willing to throw out that kind of money for DeMar. And I know it's easy to say, well, you're over the tax, so what difference does it make really if you throw him an extra $5 million? But the Bulls haven't exactly been known to be a team that loves spending money.
Oh,
so,
absolutely not. Yeah.
So to be able to do this, I think it was a really bold move, and it's paid out perfectly. It's just everything's worked out so well. I love that we can be like, hey, what are the best moments of 2021? Get 12 and then forget one that's as important as Caruso, because it's been so much good for the Bulls lately.
It's so good. We did forget that one, but it's not a problem. We slipped it in there. It was basically in there. Just pretend like it's in there. No big deal. But no, it's awesome, man. 2021 was a great year. For the Bulls and for Bulls fans, even the end of last year was still super exciting because we, you know, again, we're playing for the play-in. If Zach doesn't get COVID at the wrong time, maybe we do make the play-ins. So, you know, it's been a good year for Bulls fans, and 2022 is shaping up to be even better, guys. I'm excited to go along this journey with you and with you, Trey, also. But quickly, before we sign off, we want to also remind you all to use coupon code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. And also check out our pals at mybookie.ag. Use code HOOPBALL on the third page of sign up to unlock deposit match bonuses there as well. But yeah, go ahead and follow me on Twitter, guys. I am Keith Cork. You can find me at BSBPKeith. And Trey, where can people find you?
On Twitter, at FinalFinally.
And please, please, please do follow the show, guys, at Ethos Bulls. Leave us a 5-star review. Tell us we're doing awesome. Tell us we're doing bad. Just leave us 5 stars so we can get found and help us out there. But until next time, take it easy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.